I'm Derek Peters.
I'm Jan Arteel.
Carol Mayle.
Well, I knew Chris for many, many years. I first met him when he came along to a user forum, a cancer services user forum, because he was obviously interested in improving the lives of cancer patients. That was one of his main focuses. And he came along really as almost like a critical friend, a very, very astute, intelligent man who kept all us slightly younger people on track, because we were all very enthusiastic about changing the world and changing lives better for cancer patients. And he was a very calming influence on us to say, well, you can do that, but just be careful, don't do that. And I always thought of him as like a little bit of a shadow. You know, when you look over to your left shoulder for a bit of reassurance and you just look over your left shoulder, and Chris was kind of there, a very quiet, gentle person who just put his hand on your shoulder and just said, just wait a minute. And you need that, you know, when you're a volunteer and when you're passionate about things like cancer services, you really need someone like Chris just to put their hand on your shoulder and say, calm down a bit. And we were saying earlier, weren't we, about the fact that a lot of what we see today on the island with regards to cancer services would have emanated from Chris putting his hand on our shoulder to refocus our minds. And that's probably what I think most about him, was that really good, reassuring hug.
Yeah, coming from a place of knowing how it feels, I guess, and being realistic for you as well, yeah. Then reining you in a bit and but encouraging at the same time.
I think when you have an illness like that and you do want to help and you do want to be enthusiastic and you do want to volunteer, you kind of strive really fast. And sometimes, like I say, you just need someone to put their hand on your shoulder. So you're just going a bit too quick here. Slow it down. Bring it back to reality. That's really important and understated in life, mm-hmm. To have that person. And we were blessed to have that person.
I guess to bring Carol, I'll bring you in. You obviously know him so well from all the charity work. You've known him for a really long time.
Yes.
I guess anyone who doesn't know that early story and how he got involved with the charity, could you give me a sense of that and maybe let me know a little bit about what he was like for you working with him and being friends with him for so long?
Yes, I've been friends with him for more than 30 years probably. We started with raising money for various cancer charities over the years. We enjoyed working together, and then we did the Isle of Woman, turned the island pink, but the money was used off island. So we decided we wanted to be used on island. So we approached Julie at Manx Breast Cancer, which was a very small and new charity. And we decided we'd like to join them and raise the money and keep it on the Isle of Man. So we did that. And then the charity went from strength to strength. We raised enough to build a breast unit. We then decided we wanted to help more cancers, not just breast. So we started Manning Cancer Help. Yeah. And since then, we've built the cancer unit. Mm. And for me, Chris was always there in the background, quiet and unassuming, but always there, offering free legal advice to people and me sort of carrying the charity through any pitfalls, wasn't he, Derek?
Yeah, I think it's when you look at the roots of any charities or any, there's always a person in there somewhere who's that sensible person. Mm-hmm. And every charity needs a sensible person. And Chris was that. And he set the roots, as Carol quite rightly says. And we sometimes don't applaud how small little changes in what we do on the island, particularly with charity, grows to something that turns out to be something extraordinary, which is the Manning Cancer Centre up at the Nobles. And whilst that Chris was obviously part of that and part of that team and part of that process, would we be here today if we didn't have a Chris Barr in our lives 30 years ago? I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
I think probably not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. What do you think, John? You were with him. What did he? What was it? What was going through his mind when he was talking about his charity work, because you know how passionate he was for it.
Yeah, as a husband, I would like people to know about Chris is how the kind of person he is. he has always been someone who gives time to others. So many people have come to him for help, advice or support, and even when he was clearly unwell himself, he would still make time for them. He never expected anything in return, and that's just the sort of a man he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a Filipino, and I was married to him, and we lived for 25 years together.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I was a nurse, and I worked for about 25 years in the hyperacute ward, stroke ward in England. When Chris' cancer returned in late 2024, I moved permanently here to the island so I could be here to look after him fully. So with my sister Evangeline, who's got an agency in the Philippines, with Chris' support, helped bring many Filipino care workers to the island over the years, and that's how the Filipino known him through me and my sister. Today, there's a large and vibrant Filipino community, many working in the care, and many now settled here with families of their own.
Yeah.
Because of Chris.
I mean, if you think of big communities here, that I mean, the Filipino community is large, and then you think about the cancer charities and the impact that they have here. These are two big things for the Isle of Man that he's there at the center of, kind of helping facilitate. And it just sounds like, I mean, I didn't know him personally, that he was so giving with his time then.
I think that's one of the things that people forget, isn't it? I mean, you, John, was with him, obviously, 25 years, which is amazing, by the way, is that when you do voluntary work, somebody's got to give, and often it is your loved ones. Often you give time, and that time is well spent, obviously, because it has good effect for the Isle of Man, but you do sacrifice a little bit of yourself for it, and Chris certainly did.
Yeah.
And he would never not pick up the phone.
Mm.
And that again is testament to a very quiet man, who a lot of people will go, well, I don't know, he was there, but they don't know what he did, and I think that's lovely. Sometimes it's really nice.
Well, I suppose, John, I mean, you probably knew him most well, that behind closed doors thing of maybe not the person that the whole world gets to see. So can you tell me a little bit about, I suppose, the Chris you knew?
Chris is a very supportive husband. He's always there to support me, and he doesn't complain any, you know, like he doesn't have the time. He's always got the time for me. Losing him is like losing half of myself. And as Chris is what to his friends, he is like that to me as well. Always gives his support, always gives his time, and always there for everyone, for me. And that's how he is. He always have time for helping people. He always have.
Yeah. I mean, Carol, you had a thingy with him, didn't you? When you weren't well. And Chris wasn't well.
Yes.
Carol's got a great story. That probably says about Chris, because he wasn't well himself at this point.
He really wasn't well. He was having really grueling treatment.
Mm-hmm. But then,
and I'd been unwell for about a year, and I needed tests in England, and my daughter was busy. So he actually came over to England with me on the boat, drove me around for 4 days, and we rented a little apartment. We were like an old married couple. Sorry, John. Sorry, John. But he was so easy to be with, and he looked after me. And the funny thing with Chris was he became a very good friend of mine. And I used to meet him a lot for lunch, and he was always late.
Yes.
And I'd be always sitting there, and the waitress would be coming over and going, is it your husband? Where is he? And I'd say, no, he's not my husband. And anyway, he'd come in and he'd sit down, and she'd come over and go, is it your husband? And I would say, no, anything but that. And Chris used to say, oh, Mrs. Mail, I couldn't think of anything worse. No. So he was always funny and really sarcastic. We got on really well, didn't we?
Yes.
He had a very good sense of humour, quiet, but...
Yeah, but sometimes they're the people, aren't they? They're quiet, but deadly, little silent assassins.
Yeah,
they come out with the little one-liners or the jokes as they're kind of...
Well,
you don't expect it from them. You're like, oh, okay.
He's very witty, isn't he?
Yes, he was, I miss him a lot. He was my sort of, when John was busy working, Chris and I would go out with my friends, wouldn't we? And I miss him a lot. He was always there.
Yeah. It sounds like a huge loss for all of you. I did like that what you said, he was always late, and John, you were like, oh, yeah, he is. He is always late. Mm. Yeah.
He's always very late.
When I was, after his passing, when I went to see David of the Empress Hotel, the manager there, then I was a bit late because I've got another appointment. I was thinking, I'm not Chris. I'm late, but I'm not Chris. I was thinking that to myself.
Yeah.
Then it's just little things that I remember him doing. Mm. So, yeah, it's a big loss for me as a husband. And but he's pure soul, you know, he's got a very good soul, and that's what I miss about him. He's always there to support me for 25 years.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I suppose then, is it heartening for all of you to have things like the Cancer Support Centre up at the hospital, to have these kind of, there's almost like a legacy there. I know it's of the whole charity, but like you say, you're saying that how much of it would it got done without Chris? It's like, well, there's actually an actual building there now that shows how hard you've all worked.
Yes.
I mean, is it heartening to know that, you know, there's memory in that, isn't there?
It's great. Yeah. It's great to think about him and being a part of it, isn't it? And
I think with everything that we've done, haven't we, as Carol and John and all of the team, really, we've become so intertwined and so close. Mm. Like, we're more than friends. That when we do something, we do it with our body and our soul. So there's a little bit of that in everything we do. So wherever we go, and whenever we walk into the breast unit or do Isle of Woman Day, or we do go into the centre, Chris's spirit will be there. And I think that, again, is really, really important for moving forward for people.
Yeah.
Because you know that spirit is there, and that epitomises exactly what the person is. They might not be here as a bodily thing, but their spirit lives on, and I think that's important for Chris, because he was a quiet man in the shadows, but did so much for this island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we found that the centre is amazing, much better, much more than we hoped for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People are coming in constantly for support.
Yeah.
And we're enjoying giving it, aren't we? And
exactly.
They're going away feeling better, we feel better, and they're coming back. And it's working so well.
Yeah, it's the idea that you all had for that to be this place where it was like not a one-stop shop, is probably a bad word for it, but, you know, where you could go in
sort
and get all the... Yeah, absolutely.
The
fact that it's working like that is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But we all go there for that help, and Chris would have gone even up
Chris
to
would,
a couple of 3 weeks
be,
ago. Yeah. He was up there having a coffee, so...
Chris would be so proud of what the charity did.
Oh, he's so proud of Chris, and we'll miss him a lot.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.